You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Indiana Pacers travel to Milwaukee on Wednesday night to take on the NBA's best 52-9 Milwaukee Bucks. Unfortunately, a game the Pacers were not supposed to win, and they did not. The leading scorer was TJ Warren, who scored 18 points, but a miserable minus 41 in the minutes he played. He was followed by Doug McDermott's 16 points off the bench, and Domantas Sabonis had the only double-double of the night with 15 points and 10 rebounds. And unfortunately for the Pacers, Malcolm Brogdon exited with just 11 minutes played in the game with a hip injury. We'll see what happens with him, but there's so far no update outside of that. For the Bucks, they were, of course, led by the soon-to-be back-to-back MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo, who had 29 points, 12 rebounds, and 6 assists. Chris Middleton had 20 points to be the second leading scorer on the team. And off the bench, Dante DiVincenzo had 19 points as the Pacers lose to the Bucks, 119-100, move to 37-25, and I believe hang on just barely to that 5 spot in the Eastern Conference. Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm the host of this wonderful podcast. And on today's show, I'm going to mix things up a little bit. I'm not going to do the good, the bad, and the ugly from today's game. Just going to riff on it a little bit. I think there's some conversations to be had. I don't think initially it was a terrible game, but it was just a classic Pacers game, in my opinion. Not to be too down on everything, but it just was a classic Pacers game, I guess. And then I want to talk about Malcolm Brogdon and the show. And I guess it's not going to be a positive show, but just talk about the frustrations from the Pacers' end in terms of just the consistent injuries with him and stuff like that. One quick note before we start, I would like to say, if you noticed on Monday's show, it might have felt a little fast. It was only about a 40-minute show, and it went kind of quickly. Well, at the time, I was in the midst of a battle with a stomach flu. Unfortunately, after that show, like really just 10, 15 minutes afterwards, had a gruesome 8-hour stretch that I will not describe in detail, but I think you can catch my drift when I say stomach virus. So I want to apologize if it was too fast or if it felt like it was rushed and wasn't a quality podcast. I promise I'm better now. I don't think I'll have the same problem next Monday's show. So yes, just a quick heads up, by the way, if that show felt a little fast, a little quick. If not, then I hope you guys enjoyed that podcast. And I'll try to have the stomach flu every weekend and try to do podcasts that way every time. Let's take one quick break and let's get right to today's action. Okay, so the Pacers lost 119-100 so I don't know if I'd call this a terrible game because they really were in it for a few minutes. I mean, that second quarter run, and there was a few minutes where I thought this team feel like they have it, and then, of course, start the third quarter, didn't play very well, ended it pretty strong to cut it to 10, but really just had no – really from probably mid-third quarter on, this game was over. They started off terribly as well. Like the Bucks, so it's two things battling it, right? On one end, you have the Bucks, who are 53-9, on pace to win 67 something games. They have probably one of the all-time best teams in the league. Like we're talking NBA history. I don't know what their net rating minus is. Like they're 113 offensive, 101 defense. I'm sure the plus 12 net rating. I'm pretty sure that ranks up there with like the Warriors of 2015, the 96 Bulls. I mean, this is an all-time team, but at the same time, it felt like the Pacers lost their fight. Now, call it injuries, right? They felt pretty good. You know, they had some spark with TJ McConnell, but then he had to be forced into the starting lineup when Brogdon got hurt, and that created a whole downhill effect for this team, which certainly is a problem. They had no Vic to begin with, which also is another problem. So maybe they were doomed from the start, especially when you had all those things in. But it just felt like this team, like, doesn't have even the slightest answer for the Bucks. Like, the thing I want to see from the Pacers, right, is they don't have to beat the Bucks. And they even beat them, what, we're talking 3 weeks ago, right? But that's not with Giannis, so I don't know if I count the game. But, like, it feels like they have absolutely no answer for even how to, like, try to slow down the Bucks a little bit. It felt like their answer was, maybe we'll get a spark off the bench. We need an incredible night from, you know, McDermott and McConnell, who both had incredible nights. You had McDermott 6 of 8 for 16 and McConnell 7 of 13 for 14 points, including 6 assists, and had a bunch of just like steal. He had 2 steals, but both those steals came on these inbound passes, like, you know, pickpocketing guys or what's the right way to explain that, but just sort of catching them off guard or whatnot, right? So to me, it's like from their starting five, there's just no answer. Like there's no discussion of like, okay, and again, the really issues were the first quarter, the third quarter where the real issues were. And once Barton got hurt, they were probably doomed anyways. But it's like they don't, you know, shift. And really, they don't like, let's put it this way, they don't do a good job, you know, when Giannis attacks, letting him one-on-one and trying to stop him one-on-one. They meet the two-point shot. They collapse him and, like, immediately, and that leads to the kick around threes to all kind of guys. And in the first quarter, the Bucks weren't shooting their group really. In the first half, they weren't, and that helped the Pacers stay in the game. The Bucks finally got going in the second half from three, and I mean, not talking like great, but I think they were 5-18 the first quarter or first half, and then they ended up going 8-28 down the stretch, and so, which is better, certainly. You know, it's what 5-18 is like, probably under 30%, and 8-28 is probably right around 30%. Give or take. I'm doing math in my head real fast, I know. That's why you guys on this podcast for me to do math in my head. But to me, it just feels like the team doesn't have an answer, and I feel like this is a common occurrence for really good teams. The Pacers just don't have an answer for even how to, like, attempt to guard them right. I think we saw it in the Celtics series last year, that first round. Like, and I don't know if it's coaching, whether it's talent level, but it just, like, in the past, I don't know why I feel like this Pacers team, like, could put up some fight, and it seemed like this past maybe year and a half when the team really got Vic just has no, like, extra fight in it, right? They just sort of, they have this, like, little burst, and then they just lay down and die. And, right, I mean, I'm watching the Pacers game, and I'm sure about that. I'm thinking, oh, they're in this game, but I knew it felt like fool's gold, right? I mean, with Barnett, too, it felt like, let's say that third quarter starts, and immediately when they got down the third quarter, I'm like, this game's over. I don't need to sit here watching this that much longer. I did, but, I mean, I didn't really need to continue to watch the game. I knew what would be the outcome eventually, so it's just frustrating, right? I mean, it's why this team continues to be stuck in that, you know, five range. I mean, I don't know if I would say this falls on coaching or talent or something or both, a combination, of course. And, you know, does health solve all problems? Certainly, but you're never going to be fully healthy. We've seen on the pitch this year, they really have had very few stretches where everybody's healthy. Now Lamb is out for this year, they won't have any stretch where everybody's healthy that they signed in the offseason. So it just seems like there's just not, like, I feel like there are certain teams in the league who, no matter who's out there, can put up a fight because they have really good coaching and they have a really good system, and the Pacers are not that team. They need to be at 100% health, they need everything to click on a single night, things to go well, and then when a few other things are off, they're done. They're gone for. I mean, they're just donezo. I mean, that's what it feels like. I mean, especially against good teams, right? I think every bad team they can kind of beat, but they just can't do it against good teams. And again, I will say the other side of it, right, is the Bucks are an all-time team, and losing an all-time team without your best two players for most of this game, I guess two of your best three, I guess Sabonis is their second best player, or Oladipo's their third best player, and Barton's their second best player, whatever you want to call it, is impressive in itself. And it's like, it's almost disheartening more than like disappointing, because it's like, they had a shot, they had a real shot. Like, and even if they didn't win this game, if they took the Bucks really close, and the Bucks are in a back-to-back too, so it's a good situation for them. If they play the Bucks really, really tight, that would have been just, it would have been an encouraging sign for this team, which frankly is playing better out of late, right? I mean, I think they definitely, to me, have turned around their midseason woes. They're really in competing for that four seed. They have a real shot to be the four. They only sit 2.5 games back. And, like, they look better. I mean, they beat some bad teams. They haven't beat anybody, like, fantastic. But they've taken care of business, which has been important, because they weren't doing that before the All-Star break. And, you know, they have a tough stretch coming up. You know, they push Chicago next, but then they've got a stretch of, like, Dallas, Boston, Philly, some teams who aren't playoff contenders, and it'll be interesting to see if they can compete against those teams. But, like, for some reason, it just feels like this team doesn't have the fight to compete even with Milwaukee. Like, they don't have any idea. And, I mean, the optimist in me says, oh, maybe they're just hiding it for the playoffs, because if they get the 4 or 5, they win the first round, they'll have to figure out a way to stop Giannis and throw something at him, so they don't want to do it right now in this useless regular season game. But I don't know. It just, you know, they had it for, like, for about 12 minutes there, for, like, oh, this team has a shot, and then it just vanished in a second, and it just, it's super disappointing. It just kind of sucks. You know, I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts. I don't think I'm the only one that thinks about the Pacers team, but I want to make sure I'm not out here on a limb thinking that. But let me know what you guys have to say about this Pacers game. I don't know if you're discouraged by it, if you just kind of toss it away, move to Chicago, win this game. I mean, you can't stay too long on one of these regular season games, because, again, they're regular season basketball games. You have to move on. There are 20 left now. We hit game 62 today, so there are 20 games left. So You can't harp on one too long, but tweet at Locked On Pacers or me at Freeman5 to give me your thoughts on that. Let's take one quick break, one last one, and let's talk about Malcolm Brogdon. Welcome back in the Locked On Pacers podcast. All right, so Malcolm Brogdon got hurt for 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth time this season, right? So He missed a three-game stretch back in November with a back injury, I believe. He missed one game with a dislocated pinky, or broken, I can't remember exactly. Then he missed an eight-game stretch with a concussion, and well, three of them with a concussion. Then he had another back injury, I believe. Then he missed two games again with a back injury, and now he's out with a hip injury. Not a back injury, I think I said that earlier. A sore hip injury. You know, in the grand scheme of things, let's call this like a five-game injury. He'll probably still end up playing about 60 games this year. Right, so he's played 47, so let's say he misses the next four to five if we're being... Because, right, he just tweaked it. It wasn't like a crazy, terrible injury, and he'll probably miss the next game. Right, and that'll put him about where he was at last year. He played 64 last year, 48 the year before, 75 in his first year. So, you know, his career, you know, average per season is probably in the low 60s. So, not unexpected, but I guess the thing I find about him that is starting to become frustrating is that I don't know what it is about, like, and maybe it's just one of those years where he's having a lot of these ticky-tacky injuries, but, like, I thought the whole issue with him was his foot, right? That had always been the big of the rumor out there, that his foot wasn't right, and that's why the Bucks didn't want to sign him. And he's having all these other weird injuries. Maybe they're related to him not putting pressure on his foot or whatnot, but, or, like, you know, one injury leads to another. We see the Vic right now, right? He shoots weirdly a little bit. He steps wrong and hurts his other ankle and his other knee, and he's going to have whatever issues throughout the season probably because of that. But with Brogdon, I don't know what it is. I mean, to me, it's like he can't catch a break, I feel like, sometimes, right? So he had been playing better as of late, right? So you take his last four games, which is since they started finally winning again, right? They won four of their last, or long before tonight, they had won four in a row. He's putting up 20.7 half assists on 53-41 shooting. Like, he'd finally turn a little bit of a corner, he's looking better, and then boom, right away gets hurt. And it's, I don't want to blame him because you really can't blame the player, but it's super frustrating, right, to see this, is that he just constantly gets hurt when he turns his corners, right? I mean, he had an incredible start to the year where he was, you know, the first 11 games was awesome. I mean, we're talking borderline all-star the first 11 games. I mean, just, you know, if he played the whole season, it would have been a huge boon. Then he hurt his back, and then he was okay, but he went through a little of a slump. Then he hurt his finger, which really went through a slump after that. Then he hurt his back again, another slump. I mean, the guy can't catch a break. And to me, I don't know if there's something the Pacers can do about that, right? I mean, it's all kind of preventive injury stuff. But it's like the Pacers need to prepare a little bit without him. And this is kind of goes back to what I did in the first segment, was that they don't seem to prepare when he gets hurt. You know, tonight you can kind of throw it away, but I'm interested to see what happens on Friday against the Bulls, because they've got, well, he doesn't play. I'll say Oliva doesn't play, right? So both the guys don't play. That means you're probably going to see a starting lineup of, you need to see McConnell or Sumner start. So it'll be interesting to see if they start Holiday and Sumner. But to me, I don't know. It feels like, and maybe he's just too important, you can't replace a guy like that, but to me it feels like they don't have enough built in when he gets hurt, and it just kind of ruins this team. And maybe, you know, the built is that when Oladipo comes back next year, we see different things. We see a healthy Oladipo who's playing 65 games, and Brogdon plays 65 games. Hopefully none of their misses overlap and whatnot. But and maybe they get the younger guards, get a little better with Sumner and Holiday, and they're more trustworthy and whatnot. But when a guy like that gets hurt, it's like it's an opportunity at least for somebody to step up, right? You know, we saw the last Brogdon injury was kind of the chance for Aaron Holiday to step up. And we're seeing Aaron play a little better. I thought he played pretty well against San Antonio on Monday. But, man, tonight he just didn't – I mean, he just was not very good. He made a couple really – he made one really errant pass that I was just like, he can't do that. He had only one assist. I mean, I don't know what the solution is, to be honest. I'm kind of just ranting here at this point. But to me, it's about the future. And this year you couldn't tell, but they're going to have to prepare. I mean, between Lamb's constant injury now this year, now we'll be out probably till mid next year at the earliest. They're basically can contend their top three guards are probably going to miss, let's say next year, 100 games combined or 80 games combined. Let's say Lamb misses 40, for being generous, probably more like 50. Let's say Oladipo misses 20, Barton misses 20, that's 90 games, right? And so, you know, I think the team did an okay job with TJ McConnell preparing for that and whatnot, but it seems like they're going to have to kind of figure something out to survive some of these regular season games, right? I hope they can beat the Bulls, because on Friday because I think without Brogdon, right? So without Brogdon, the games, they've been not great. I mean, so there was, so remember, he was there in the whole six-game losing streak, so let's, you know, it's not like he wasn't there. But so, let's see. They, without Brogdon, they barely beat the Knicks back in December. That was the first game they had, and they lost to the Bucks, beat Brooklyn, beat Orlando. Both those games are when Aaron Holiday stepped up and played really well. So then they got him. He missed New York game in December. Barely won that game by a point. That was the game where Julius Randle bricked the free throw. Then without him, they beat Toronto. Again, Aaron Holiday stepping up in that game. Lost to Miami by 1 point. Aaron Holiday also played pretty well in that game. Got crushed by New Orleans. He came back. They beat Philly on that New Year's Eve game, but he didn't really play. He played like 8 minutes. Lost to Denver. Lost to Atlanta without him. Lost to Miami. So they don't really, you know, they have, without him, they really don't have a shot against any good team. The only good team they beat without him, right? They lost to Portland another time without him. When he doesn't play, they beat Toronto one time. Toronto was also down like five starters, right? They were down Siakam, and I believe Gasol was out, and I think Fred VanVleet might have been out in that game back in December. So I don't know. It just seems like this is an opportunity for, like, when he gets hurt, and only for Aaron Holiday to step up, and we're not seeing it. And I don't know what's happened with Aaron Holiday. It felt like he really made a stride November, December. Maybe teams have finally kind of adjusted to him. They got some tape on him, but man, he has regressed back, and it's just making these broad injuries worse, this broad slump worse, Oladipo injury worse, and it's just kind of reverberating across this team. You know, I know we're in March, and this is kind of the point you get in the season where, like, you kind of want the playoffs to be here, right? I mean, we're 4 weeks away from the playoffs. The games kind of matter right now, right? You're competing for seeding, but the players are making the playoffs. They're going to win 45 games at a minimum. They're probably going to end up at 48 in that range. Like, I don't know. It's just, the key right now is to get healthy, I guess, and to win enough games to be kind of the 4th seed. I think that's probably the goal. So it's probably the two competing goals right now. But, man, it still feels like even after today's loss, like, they played well, but it just, I'm still not super encouraged by the way this team has played. I mean, it's just, it's really frustrating the amount of injuries that come piling up on this team. I mean, it might be one of the years just a bad year. Like I think part of it, too, I guess, is the expectation game, right? So I think there was a point this year where it was like, they're playing really well without Vic. This team could, like, make a playoff run, and then when Vic returns, right? Now, with the injuries, it's just not. Maybe it's just one of those years, just a bad year. They're going to make the playoffs. That's enough. They're probably going to lose in the playoffs in the first round. Maybe get lucky, win a first-round series. If everything kind of falls right. But I feel like with all the injuries and whatnot, there's not going to happen. And maybe that's what you just toss away. You say, you know what? We weren't healthy. We'll figure out next year. And maybe that's what you do. Maybe that's how that works. But, I think with the way Brogdon keeps getting hurt, with the way Aaron Holiday can't step up, with the way Oladipo has looked, with the Lamb injury now, I think the expectation game for this team has got to be lowered. I think I got to do that myself, too, to kind of reset it and think, if this team even makes it 6 or 7 games in the first round, that's kind of a win. I'll hear your guys' thoughts on that. I don't know if that's a win for you guys. I think that would be a third straight first-round exit, which is certainly not the greatest, but, you know, when you want to make the playoffs, you want to make the playoffs. That's what it is. As always, you can tweet at our podcast, at Lockdown Pacers. You can follow me at FreedomAdam5. You can follow my co-host, Tony East, at TEastMBA. That's all for the Lockdown Pacers podcast. Tony will have you I will bring you a preview of this weekend's game. We'll probably skip a preview in the Bulls game and just preview the Mavs game. So I will bring you a new podcast tomorrow. That's all for the Lockdown Pacers podcast, and we'll see you guys again tomorrow.